The Holy Gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, so for a point of clarity while I move this, I only had tea this morning to drink. I am well, thank you. If I look wobbly or like I'm not focused, it's because these are my new progressives. I wear progressives, I have for years, but these are really giving me a good fight when it comes to getting used to them. So we're working on it. I made it at 10. I mean, I made it at 8. I don't know about 10. My eyes are starting to get a little tired of fighting it, but we're going to work on it. So the full version of this sermon is meant to begin with a prayer by the Reverend Jan Richardson. The prayer is called Patterns, and we're going to use it as our opening prayer later today before our annual meeting, so I hope you'll stay to hear it. In this morning's Gospel from Matthew, Jesus' ministry finally begins. Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the heart of Jesus' message and mission. This is the invitation, so powerful and compelling, that poor fishermen drop everything, give up the life that they know, and follow Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent, metanoeta, which comes from the verb metanoia, which translates literally to think differently afterwards. Change one's mind, change one's inner being, particularly with reference to acceptance of the will of God. I've read commentators who put it several different ways. One, be of a new mind, or perhaps change your way of thinking, or most simply, wrap your mind around this. So Jesus was walking around, literally proclaiming, change your mind, your being. The kingdom, the reign of heaven is near. This is the call to the disciples, to all those who will decide to walk in the way of Jesus during his life and after his crucifixion and resurrection, to all who will walk in the way like Matthew's community. It's a call to change a way of being and thinking, to be willing to see the world as it is, and then imagine how it could be in God's reality. It's a call to be agents of bringing in the reign of heaven. Fast forward to our own day and time. On Monday evening, I had the opportunity to join the Episcopal table at the MLK dinner and program in Portland. Bishop Brown gave the benediction at the event, and our diocese sponsored a table. It was a four-hour-long program, much too long to describe in detail, but truly worth every minute. The theme was race, sovereignty, and Maine at 200 years. Where do we go from here? Based on Martin Luther King Jr.'s final manuscript, Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community? The program was divided into three sections, examining the past, understanding the present, and where do we go from here? Underlying all of that was the question, who are we? Before we can own our past, see the truths of our present, and begin to understand where we go from here, we need to know what we mean when we say we. Who does we include and who are not included? In today's gospel, Jesus, a Middle Eastern Jew, is walking around proclaiming, change your way of thinking, seeing your way of being, for the kingdom of heaven is near. As he walks around the Sea of Galilee, he collects a few poor subsistence fishermen, and together they go throughout the area proclaiming this good news and curing everyone who was sick. This kingdom is for everyone, the Jews, the Gentiles, those who are poor, those who are sick and in need of healing, everyone. The verses which complete the rest of chapter 4 describe how Jesus' fame spreads throughout the surrounding areas, all of Syria, as he heals everyone who is brought to him from all over. Great crowds, Matthew says, follow him, Jews and Gentiles from the entire region. The we Jesus is sent to and for includes everyone. Everyone, which is wider and more expansive than most of us can really imagine. The key is to expand our imagination to include everyone. In order to grasp the kingdom of heaven, we have to imagine a great deal more. The parameters we use to delineate our understanding of we have to expand, to be opened up wide. As wide as God's love and mercy. And that kind of expansive vision takes work to accomplish. We have to be willing to own our past, see our present honestly, and really understand how our being us affects the ability of others to live life abundantly. How does our being, for the most part, majority culture, white Americans of some affluence, contribute to the pressure others experience as they struggle to be included in the we of our culture? That's the work some of us have been doing through the Sacred Ground Adult Education Program this year. It's challenging work, often foundation-shaking work. The history we thought we knew is expanded to show us a more complete story. The readings and films are often heartbreaking and disturbing as we glimpse the experience of the other. The treatment of indigenous peoples who've inhabited this continent for thousands of years. How America's system of chattel slavery has perpetuated racism for 400 years. Chattel slavery allowed people to be bought, sold, and owned forever, imposing slave status on the children of the enslaved at their birth, thus enslaving generations in a single purchase. By equating slavery with being black and crafting laws which defined black and brown men as less than fully human, our country took over the land of indigenous people and built its prosperity on the backs of black laborers. The historic treatment of Hispanics laid the foundations for our country's current animosity toward all of those of Hispanic origin, characterizing them as unworthy immigrants, even in the portions of this country that were originally Mexico. including all our parts of present day Arizona, California, Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, Wyoming, and of course, Texas. Our history of exploitation of Asian Americans predates what most of us think of, right? The internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. Systemic prejudice against Asians began in earnest with the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882. That paved the way for the sweeping Immigration Act of 1924, which restricted immigration and refused citizenship to other undesirable groups, such as Middle Easterners, East Indians, and the Japanese, in addition to the Chinese. The act was supported by federally funded eugenists who argued that social inadequates were polluting the American gene pool and draining taxpayer resources. Much of our history feels incongruous with our innate understanding of what it means to be American. Yet in 2020, it also sounds frighteningly familiar. In the words of the Equal Justice Initiative, until we confront our history of racial injustice and its legacy, we cannot overcome the racial bias that exists today. Which is why Monday's MLK program began with confronting our history, walking us through a brief overview of a history of Maine that included the experience of Maine's indigenous people, the history of Maine's Black and Brown people, describing Maine's shipping industry's significant role in the slave trade, even though Maine entered the Union as a free state. We like to think about that, right? We don't think about the other. This is the history of who we are when we think of ourselves as Mainers. The second panel discussed who we are now. The group spoke about the situation in our schools, our prisons for youth and teens, our policing of Black and Brown people, the disparity in economic well-being between white and Black families, the profiling of Black and Brown people, and how difficult seeming like simple things are, like getting a loan, like being admitted to an advanced math class or an AP course of any kind, racial profiling in our schools. Being stopped by police for a traffic violation, exercising the right to vote, keeping that right, obtaining medical insurance, and getting appropriate medical care. The list felt endless. The final panel tried to answer the biggest question of all. Where do we go from here? How do we find a way to something more life-giving and hopeful than this? We heard from a high school student, a young man working with Inside Out at the youth with the youth at Long Creek Detention Center, a representative of our legislature who's a farmer and a slam poet, a chief of the Penobscot Nation, a woman working for the rights and assimilation of refugees and asylum seekers. All spoke to how we might find our way to community out of our current chaos. That's the core question before us. That's the gospel question. How do we, the widest possible definition of we, move toward a way of life that supports and sustains us all? How do we stop our spinning toward chaos and build a community of compassion and empathy, justice and peace for all of God's people? This is the completely different reality that Jesus walks around proclaiming and he lives out. A reality marked by healing and restoration to community, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the dead, and the reconciliation of all people to God. This is the beautiful community Jesus is declaring. This is the kingdom of heaven. A place for all of God's people, for people of all abilities, sick or well, of ethnicities, race, gender, religion, everyone. This is what Jesus asks us to wrap our minds around. the beautiful vision of the kingdom, a reality in which sins are forgiven, graves are split open, lives are transformed, and God's alternative and preferred future for the world breaks into the here and now. Once we can imagine it, then we set out to bring God's preferred reality into being, beginning with our own work. This other's experience, owning our own complicity in the systems which perpetuate the status quo, digging into our history, opening our eyes to our blind spots with all the culpability and vulnerability that work requires. In the last 4 years at St. Bart's, our image of we has expanded to include those who are brown and black, who speak other languages, and come from vastly different cultures than ours. With their help, we've been searching our own hearts and minds, unpacking our prejudices and perspectives to better comprehend the injustices of our culture and seek to do better. I am incredibly grateful that we are doing this vital work together, following Jesus's way of love, striving to create a new reality, one where kindness, justice, and mercy flourish on earth as it is in heaven. Our sermon officially concludes with a blessing by Jan Richardson, which we will use to conclude our time together today at the close of our annual meeting. And I look forward to seeing many of you then, either live or streaming.